Welcome to Goober Time with Dr. Chris Chismore, hosted by Tom and Griffin.
We are your hosts, Tom and Griffin.
Unfortunately, our illustrious friend, Dr. Chris Chismore, is away on his important research and unable to host the podcast this week.
But fear not, dear listener, because he has left us in charge, and we are going to try to do a really good job of a podcast.
This week, Dr. Chismore has asked us to talk about...
jobs.
But first...
Tom, what happened at the Glendale Y?
I went to the Glendale YMCA today. I was in the men's locker room. I was putting on my workout clothes, and I was putting on my shoes, my socks and my shoes. And there's a man who I immediately recognized because he wears full pants in the steam room. He brings his backpack in and wears full pants in the steam room. He comes in, immediately turns, doesn't even assess his situation in the locker room, immediately turns to me, takes off his shirt and says, "Hey man, do you use the steam room?" Not that it matters so much, but did you know they did some construction on it? Well, before it got kind of hot, but now it's like more steamy. And I was... He was like, yeah, man, it's more steamy, but I think it was more powerful before. And he's like, yeah, man, I think the biggest difference is like before. He's like, I don't shower after I come out of there. He's like, I never rinse off after I come out, which is the most insane thing. And this is the guy
covered in sweat.
He just doesn't rinse off. This is the guy who also wears his pants, his full pants, into the steam room.
Pants, socks, shoes.
Yeah, pants, socks, shoes into the steam room.
Underwear, we can
assume. Sometimes brings his backpack in. And he confessed that he leaves the steam room without even rinsing off. He's like, before the steam room, before I felt icky. And now I feel clean. I don't feel icky anymore. I feel clean. And what? I said, dude, I honestly don't know because I have to shower after I get out of the steam room.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
You should have let him know. That's a good time to let him know.
That's disgusting. What kind of human just goes into a steam room, sweats their ass off, and...
in their clothes, and then, and then goes home. He is so, I've seen him before. I've been in there before and looked over, and yeah, this man sort of appears out of the steam and he's wearing his full pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Sock shoes.
Yeah.
I leave the steam room. He was bathing in the sink. There's full showers, but he had like had his shirt off and he was just splashing water over his shoulder onto his back.
Yeah, that's crazy. That guy.
The Glendale YMCA is hell on earth. It is a portal to hell. And it's sort of some of the workers from hell, I think, are allowed to come up and have a little bit of a break. And they can do working out and they can, get, you know, there's a sauna if they want it, even though they're coming from hell. They seem to like the Glendale YMCA's sauna.
I also think it's a little portal to heaven because I've met some real angels in there, too.
I think it's the intermediary. It's what is it? Limbo.
Limbo. Well,
is
yeah.
That, is that limbo or is it purgatory? Another one. Purgatory is between.
Purgatory is the middle ground where regular people like you and I go to purge our sins,
mm-hmm.
and then so we can get into heaven.
Gotcha. But you're seeing some crossover from the workers from heaven and the workers from hell.
Yeah, there's a dude.
There's one angel I know about.
Fred.
Fred
is an angel.
The mayor of the men's locker room.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in the new year, but he's an angel.
Of some
lived
sort.
In LA for a long time. He's an entertainment lawyer.
Wow. Yeah. These are details you've slowly gathered from observing him?
Yeah, observing him. I also talked, me and our friend Nate talked to with him for a long time. And
Nate
he's,
Verone, yeah, friend Nate of Verone, the pod.
Friend of the pod. host of Joy Tactics.
I'm assuming one of them.
One of the hosts of Joy Tactics, another podcast.
And they're friends of the pod.
And they're all friends of the pod.
And they don't know we're doing a pod, but they are friends of the pod.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they would mind me saying that, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to keep saying it.
Yes. We talked to him. We found out he was from Chicago. He's an angel.
Oh.
So he's coming from the heaven side of the portal.
If you're from Chicago and you come to Los Angeles, I think pretty good chances you're an angel. But I will say also equally good chances that you are the utmost, you're the lowest scum from hell as well.
Yeah.
So I guess doesn't really save you. I thought it did, but as I started to say that, I realized I don't mean that. At least the men's locker room is, you're kind of rolling the dice on whether or not there's going to be about three or four almost naked old Armenian men playing pool and gambling.
Yes, yes. There's
getting in fights over the pool or something in their personal lives. I don't really know what they're talking about, but they're getting quite aggressive.
Mm. Yeah, I saw two guys getting a almost a shoving match, two like men over the age of 55 in the steam room one time.
That's
the guy was
crazy.
Shaving in there.
And they were mad at him for shaving?
Well, one guy was clearly shaving and the other guy was like, "Hey man, what's your name?" And he's like, "I'm not fucking telling you." And he is like, "You shouldn't be doing that in here." And the guy was like, "Doing what?" And he's like, "You're shaving. I know that you're shaving." And then he like, and then they started yelling at each other. And then I was like, "I have to get out of here." And then the president of the Y came down and talked with me about what I saw.
The president of the Y.
He's a good dude.
Okay, I would hope so. I'd hope we have a good president at the Glendale Y.
Yeah, he's like a 50-something Armenian dude.
He sounds like he's the perfect president for that YMCA.
Yeah, we should clarify too that because this is Glendale, there's a huge Armenian presence in Glendale, and especially at the Glendale YMCA. It's a lot of Armenian folks.
I'd say I don't know what the Armenians are doing if they're not at the Glendale YMCA. They seem to all be there from 14 years old to 80, I'd say maybe pushing 90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a mob of, if you get there around anywhere after 3 o'clock or maybe just right after, there is a mob of teens from, I think, the high school across the street.
Yes.
Who come and work out in, I'd say, the most disgustingly lit weight room I've ever been in my life.
Yes.
If the lighting director of a film was told, make it look like puke, and then they made it look like this room, they would have done a good job.
Yeah.
It's really, it's hard to be in that room. And they love to hang out in there, and they're screaming at each other and shoving each other.
Yeah, they shove each other a lot. They scream at each other. Yeah, like
they're having a good time. You know, they're keeping each other healthy, and they're doing something that's, it's not the worst thing they could be doing after school.
No.
Left unattended. I just wish that there were any rules at the YMCA, and anybody would say, hey, maybe don't pick up the 100-pound dumbbell and throw it on the new mat on the ground just to see if it does anything.
Yeah.
Which I watched a group of them gathered around. There's this kind of huge, I'd say like Gollum looking, not like Gollum from the Lord of the Rings, but like a clay man who has become animated and massive body, tiny.
A literary Gollum.
A literary Gollum. Yeah. And you'll find that I'm the one who's going to be making a few more literary references than Tom Fell. He'll of course know what they are, but he'll never venture to make them on his own. Yes. Me the making the reference of Gollum because I read the Adventures of Cavalier and Clay once in Chicago. Tom fully hated that. Are you anti-Cavalier and Clay name dropping a novel?
No, it's not you name dropping a novel. It's just he looked like a Gollum and not the one from the Lord of the Rings that literally everyone else would use as a reference, but the literary Gollum, a man made of clay, just.
I couldn't help. I mean, I'm trying to describe this guy. That's the first thing I think of is this fucking hulking beast drawn out of the fucking earth.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's not a child. He's older than all of them. He's like their mentor a little bit. He's at least warming up with like armbands. He doesn't just like go in or with rubber bands. He doesn't go in and just like start picking up the heaviest shit. But they look up to him. And then he was like going up to people who had, headphones in, not working out with him at all. And he was like, "Can you believe this? Could they put in a new mat?" And they took out all of in the weight room, and they took out all of the heaviest weights that almost nobody uses because nobody can pick them up. But there are still 100-pound dumbbells, like for one arm, designed for one arm. And, I don't know how much more weight you really need. He was going around to people and be like, "Can you believe this? Look at this mat. What's this even supposed to do?" And they took out all the weight. So I'm just going to find another way to do it. What do you think this mat's going to do? And he got a group of like his little teen squad around. This guy's got to be like 35. And whoever else he could like bother during the workouts picks up the 100-pound dumbbell, holds it over his head, and then just drops it directly on the floor. And it like bounced about 5 feet. Yeah, it was insane. It was so dangerous fucking stupid. Then later,
I think I know which guy you're talking about.
You
now. He's older than everybody else, and all the kids gather around him. But he's massive,
and he's always down to help him. What do you spot him? He's always spotting him. He seems like he could be a role model.
Yes,
but something's. I think he needs a role model.
Yeah,
he could be a good role model if he had somebody telling him, "Don't be doing that."
Yeah, he does seem like he has the mental capacity of a 16-year-old. And I say that with...
Very specifically, we've now sort of geolocated a place and now are naming people who are there consistently. I don't know. I think
we're
getting close to doxing.
Yeah.
But I also don't think it matters yet.
Yeah. And you know, I say that with the utmost respect for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think you have the mind of a child, but I say it with the utmost respect.
Yeah, I say it with the utmost... I mean...
I think you're a drooling caveman. I say that with the utmost respect.
I respect the guy. It's just that he's physically intimidating. He helps the kids around him, but the fact that he is dropping a 100-pound weight from head high... Just to show teens, impress teens, and show them what it might do... is a pretty good sign to me that you still your frontal lobe never fully baked, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit got some dough. It's still doughy in the middle.
Anyways, I think we're going to hear a lot more about the Glendale YMCA, but we have to get on with the pod.
Yeah, I would love to write a musical about it write a musical, and it's just like it has the perfect cast of characters. I love it.
I mean, I think absolutely you should do that. I think, you know, abandon whatever dumb pilot you're writing and absolutely. I mean, if you want a writing job quickly in Los Angeles, I think you write a one act or you know, hour long musical with 30 minute, maybe television musical about the Glendale Y. Oh. I think people would not have read something like that before.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
And I could just hand it straight to Fred,
who's an entertainment lawyer. Locker room,
who's an entertainment lawyer.
I think. I think a plan for success. I'm being sincere. You should do this.
Say, hey, man, I haven't seen you in 6 months, but I did write an entire musical based here.
Hey, I haven't seen you in 6 months, but can you sing?
You know, Fred probably could. He's got a great voice.
He's got a
good radio voice. Just calm.
If we ever do live from the Glendale Y, we've got to figure out how to get Fred on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fred would absolutely come on. We just have to probably give him some notice because he lives... I can't say where he lives.
Yeah, you've already really... So I'm noticing a streak in you to sort of dox people.
I've kind of doxed...
I'm sort of being a pretentious shit, and you're doxing people.
Yeah, I know. I just... I am not used to being on a podcast yet. I'm just, you know...
Me either. Me either. And once I'm used to it, I'll quit talking about books and the beautiful things within them.
Yeah.
And of course, our topic this week...
Jobs. Our jobs, you know...
Good jobs, bad jobs, dirty jobs.
Dirty jobs.
Steve Jobs, potentially.
Yes. Everyone's got to have one these days.
Unless you live in Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
And your parents, they invented oil, and then you're good.
yeah, which is...
And you're pretty much good, and you can be trying to figure out how to be a Twitch streamer, or you can be figuring out how to be a YouTuber, and you don't really ever have to be successful at that. And that's most of the people here.
Yeah, and you can hang out... during the day. I think that's another common thing. I feel like I've talked to some people and you're just like, yeah, let's hang out. And they're like, yeah, how about Wednesday at 1:30 p.m.?
Right.
And you're like, dude, I have a job.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I am one of those people who can hang out at Wednesday at 1 p.m. most of the time.
Well, what do you tell the people? What do you do?
Well,
what's your current job?
Professionally, my current job, I'm unemployed. But generally, I'm a freelance video editor, that's mostly what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of random post-production stuff. And I was fortunate enough to have a big job last fall. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to focus on getting some personal projects done or off the ground or, you know, throw myself into this. And so that's what I have been doing so that I'm not like the other bad guys who I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're a freelancer.
I'm a freelancer. And that is a lot of people in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Everybody has about 14 jobs.
Yes, I have freelanced as well.
And you freelance on top of your normal job, which is, I think everybody knows.
No, I don't think anybody knows.
Nobody knows what you do?
I don't think I've ever said what I actually do.
You've never once talked about naming buttons?
No. I'm comfortable talking about past companies I work for. I will not say the current company I work for.
That's okay. I will. Just add in a beep. Just immediate long beep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it ends with you saying Coca-Cola.
Should have just done that. It's still good.
Yeah, it's still good. But yes. Hold on.
Coca-Cola.
Perfect. Yeah, now that everybody knows I where I work, I am a U. I'm a my official title is content designer, but that is that term makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, it sounds like you're one of the workers from the hell side of the Glendale Y.
Yes, it truly is. My job title, every time I look at it and every time I reference it, it makes me want to throw up because not only is content the most vague term, I think one of the most vague terms in existence right now. No one understands what I do when I tell them that. And I prefer to just tell people like I'm a UX writer. And then people are like, okay, well, what does a UX writer do? And I say, I name buttons on apps.
I think it's unfortunate that you have to say that, but it is, my eyes, I start to glaze over. My ears start to glaze. Do ears glaze over as well as eyes?
Yeah, your eyes, I mean, eyes glaze over, but your ears,
I hear UX and I think, oh, dear, is there something I could be doing right now?
Yeah, exactly. Because the people in it are generally insufferable.
Yeah.
It's become a thing now. Like, I kind of lucked into it because I was,
you're doing copywriting.
We're doing copywriting, yeah.
And then you looked at, why is it a thing? It's a thing like people, it's a cool to get. It's a desirable job.
You have to go to boot camp. Like, there are like UX writing boot camps. And people,
it sounds easy. It sounds easy as fuck. Not, no shade, but.
Now there's like a whole thing where people are like, well, according to this study and according to this thing, and it's just like, no, you're overthinking it. You can also just put a button there. You know?
I'd love if you went and did a workshop at one of these boot camps and say, you could do that. You could, but you could just put a button.
Yeah. Just put it
by the end of the week. And you know what I always say, you guys, you can be writing this, you can be writing that, but you could always be putting a button. Everybody's chanting.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Doing that doesn't sound, do you think if I wanted to have your job that I would need to go to the boot camp? Or do you think I could just kind of figure it out?
You know, if I helped you make a portfolio,
nepotism.
If I gave you some of the stuff I had worked on, and then like
I put my name on it,
you could get the job, and they thought you were qualified. You could do it easily.
That's wild.
Yeah,
but you do have to have like kind of like
you have to have a portfolio of like stuff from an actual business. Like, I mean, I'll say like I worked for Walgreens corporate at one point, and Allstate Insurance corporate.
Yeah. And I worked for Harris Teeter.
What, really?
I'm trying to think of the biggest name I could say. Well,
thought of Harris Teeter.
Because
a regional southern, it's like a southern chain of grocery stores.
The first job I had.
Really?
I mean, that's why I went there. Well, okay. I was going to say the biggest names, but those are actually two places or people that I actually still, I'm not like currently employed by them, but I likely will work for them again in some capacity.
Wait,
like freelance clients. No. I was thinking of the biggest people who I could have said, the biggest companies, but those are clients that I likely will continue to have.
Oh, so
I
probably shouldn't say them. Probably shouldn't. Yeah.
I was just going to say them, but then you said your thing and I thought maybe I shouldn't. No, I don't know. I mean, I worked at the biggest name I could say is the Second City.
Yes.
I think. Or no. Groupon.
Groupon. Yeah, I was going to say. Groupon.
Well, I was doing both of them. And Groupon, I one day the office, there was a fire drill and they pulled everybody outside and you could see there's a fire, the actual fire burning on top of the building. And I turned to somebody and I said, they should just let this whole fucking thing go. I said that to somebody and they did let us go home for the day. But I said that awesome. And I meant it. And somewhere around there, I kind of, nothing happened that made me take a step back, but I think I just heard myself say that, and I was like, I maybe shouldn't have just turned and said that to just a random person. That wasn't the person I knew. Could have been security for the company.
Just a random.
Absolutely could have just implicated myself in arson.
Yeah.
But I did mean it. They should have just let the whole fucking building burn down to the goddamn 600 Chicago Avenue, let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was dating somebody who, one of her friends worked with me at Groupon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always very nice. She was incredibly sweet. But we never like were like pals at work. But I was like not really pals with many people at work. And when ex and I were dating, she told me, hey, my friend, like, actually, you worked with her at Groupon. And she said it looked like you wanted to come in and kill everybody. She was like laughing about it. I think it was something I would have to ask her. But it was something like that. It was like, she said he looked miserable. I think I forget that I think I wear how I feel on my face constantly. I think maybe other people are better at sort of retaining a neutral. I don't know. I think I'm maybe not capable of doing that. I never got pulled into any meetings of like, hey man, we're kind of scared of you. the way that she had this girl had described it, it sounded like maybe they should have. Based on just how I looked. If we were walking around and I saw how I must have looked on a different guy. I think I would have been like, what the fuck? But also, I assumed everybody at Groupon felt that way. And I think they did. I think they also did look that way, too, a lot of them. Unless they were like in sales and they were kind of like, you know, the sales, the bros and, I don't know, what's the feminine of bros?
Yeah. Like sis. Yeah, sorority sisters.
I want to say broad. I want to say bitches, hoes. I know those are wrong, but those
girl
are
bosses.
Girl bosses. Thank you.
Yeah.
And see, I have to work through about four or five really problematic things to come to the right answer. That's most of the time. And I don't mean the other stuff. It's just top of mind. And that's maybe something, that's maybe something for me to investigate about myself.
Yeah. That's kind of like the list we were talking about at the list for you to read on the radio.
Yeah. There is a part of me that really loves naughty things.
Yeah.
And who doesn't?
Groupon, I feel like that was like one of the main places that employed people in Chicago
comedy people,
but even non-comedy people. I feel like everybody worked there for a while. This is in Chicago. All the spots that we're talking about are in Chicago.
Yeah. Everything's in Chicago. We used to live in Chicago. We're Chicago pilled.
Yeah. Chicago.
So sue me. I'm Chicago pilled.
We're a bunch of Chicago pilled comedy maxers.
Comedy maxinistas.
Comedy maxinista. Oh yeah. Wait.
I don't know
culture,
what that means.
No. Wait. There's another podcast called
Las Culturistas.
Las Culturistas. That's what I was
friends of the pod. Mean,
friends of the pod. They're not friends of the. We don't know either they one of them. Be. They could be. Hey, if we play our cards right,
we know somebody who knows at least one of them, or probably both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is besides
Matt Rogers.
I didn't know. Bowen Yang, I knew. Matt Rogers, don't know who that is. But Matt, you're free to come on the pod anytime because you are officially stamp sound effect, a friend of the pod.
The first few episodes are us going to be naming as many friends of the pod as we can.
We're trying to claw out of obscurity. And the way you do that is by name dropping and associating yourself with already successful people who you can claim are your friends.
Yes.
Ooh, I almost just started... that made me want to go on a really nasty rant.
Okay, good.
I'm good
you stopped yourself. I'm glad you stopped yourself.
I'm good you stopped yourself. And that's actually the name of Tom's first post-rock album.
I'm good you stopped yourself. Yeah. It has the whale leaping out of the forest.
That is so bad.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll probably talk about a lot. Though I don't listen to it as much anymore, but post-rock will come up.
Yes.
But the whale, the sea imagery, sailing imagery, just to like trying, I think they're trying to invoke sort of like the hard loneliness of like Hemingway type stuff. And you're posers. Those are posers. Even if they're doing good music, you're posers. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
Be normal. Be, you know who'd start, the guys who you look up to who started doing this genre, they just had a thought and they made their own thing and it was cool and so you liked it.
Yeah.
So don't just try to copy it and try to copy the vibe of the goddamn genre. Just be your fucking selves. Oh my God, it's so annoying to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I didn't realize I was so frustrated. It really is whatever their fucking names are. Can we name them? I can't name any of them.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of one that when you said sea imagery, I thought of Unwed Sailor.
Yeah. Don't know their music. They're probably great guys. Just made good songs there. Fuck off. Unwed Sailor. Fuck off. Jesus
Christ. Too much sea imagery.
Too much
sea imagery. It's like a little bit, it's like kind of a cool name, but it's a little bit too, It's like too it's trying on the nose. Too hard.
Yeah, it's trying really hard.
I was listening to one of my ghost story podcasts yesterday, and the host said something that I thought I just loved the phrase, and I was like, this would be a hilarious band name. Mm-hmm. And the phrase was, this woman told a ghost story, and he says, "Ooh, you saw a blues man from the grave."
He said, "Ooh, you saw a blues." So you think
you saw blues man from the grave?
Yep,
is an awesome band name. I think
I'd say if you were the first group of five Southern black guys to start a post rock band, that's a really good name for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that exists. I don't know why they have to be Southern. I associate blues with the South, I guess. But I think that's a sort of an all. You'd have to be all black guys doing post rock. Be called
Blues Man from the Grave.
Blues Man from the Grave. I'd go see that.
Yeah,
Blues Man. It does seem like it's trying too hard, but just based on that, yeah, I'd go see it. Wait, I had a question for you.
Yeah, about
naughtiest thing you've done at work or that has happened around work.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I was a summer camp counselor.
Oh, sure.
And like there we did a lot of naughty stuff. Like, it was baked into it. You stay up late, you drink, you sneak off and get blowies.
You get involved.
Yeah.
You get blowies.
Yeah. You never worked as a summer camp counselor? I did.
I wouldn't get in
blue jays. Got a blowjob?
No.
Okay.
I was hearing about guys getting sucked off and twiddled with. There was a bathtub next to the caretaker's house people would get fucked in. I just remember hearing that and then seeing it. I was like, Jesus, it's like right next to that house. There's just a bathtub outside and they fucked in that?
No one did the fucking. They just got fucked.
I think they got fucked.
In a bathtub by the caretakers.
And now that I'm of age, I was of age then, but I wasn't getting fucked at all. But now I know, I don't know how you would be getting fucked in a bathtub at all. That sounds
be hard.
There's so many better places to go be doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe next to it, against it, leaning upon it. Maybe
but
even
not
sitting
in it.
In it sound, I can barely be in it by myself.
Yeah.
Last bath.
Was this like an act? Last bath. The last bath I took had to be over in November. I went to Cancun with my in-laws.
Oh.
And I took a bath with all of them.
The hell?
No. We just were in the room and the room had a bath.
Yeah, I don't think I've taken one since I like came back from a flight. And I had given myself like food poisoning or like, maybe alcohol poisoning. I couldn't keep anything down.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and I drew a bath and I think I ate white rice. And that's the last bath I can remember taking. Anyways,
I thought of another naughty, an actual naughty thing that caused me to get fired. This was when I was 19. I worked at a resort. I was a valet and this guy was like, tossed me the keys to his SUV and I got in the driver's seat and I didn't even look and realize that there was a like turtle top, like luggage rack on the top, like one of those like shells.
Uh-huh.
And I started driving into the garage And the fucking luggage rack like ripped off. I like went under and the luggage rack got ripped off by the top.
Oh my God. So then their stuff just exploded. No,
yeah. I mean, the car was actually fine. It's just that like the luggage rack, they the insurance of the resort covered it. It was then I came in before my next shift. They were like, hey, you got to meet with Matt, or Matt wants to meet with you. And he was the manager. And he was like, dude, I'm sorry, but yeah, you got to hand in your badge. I'm sorry, man.
You have to hand in
and
your
I
badge.
I had to like hand it, and I was like, wow. Oh my God, I felt so bad.
Were your parents disappointed in you?
You know, no. They were like...
They expected this.
Yeah, they expected it. I just wasn't the best driver at the time.
And I would say you're quite a good and quite cautious driver.
Thank you. Yeah, I had my fair share of
a little
stupid,
overly cautious, I might say.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
Drive like a little bit like a grandpa.
Yes, I would agree. But when you drive a box with a lawnmower engine that powers it, you have to be cautious.
And that's a Honda Element.
And that's my 2011 Honda Element.
Sponsors of the pod. The 2011 Honda Elements are the sponsors of the pod.
Yeah. But yeah, and I felt terrible about it. And the nice button on the story is that maybe like 2 or 3 months ago, I got this random message on Instagram that was like, hey, dude, like, did you used to work at Wild Dunes? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he was like, oh, my God, I knew you were. He's like, one of your videos popped up. And he's like, dude, I'm glad to see you're doing well. Like, your videos are really funny. And he was like, I forget his name, but he was like, oh, I worked with you out there. And he's like, I hope this doesn't make you feel bad, but, you know, after you got fired, we all called you 24-hour Tom because you had only worked there because I had like joined at the beginning of the summer and then it was like 1 month and then I like was gone and I was like, dude, I am not offended at all. That was hilarious. Like, yeah, I clearly should not have been working as a valet.
Wow. And,
like, I deserve to get fired, but like that is very funny and thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, I don't think I could work at any point in my life as a valet. It just seems like an incredibly stressful job.
Yeah.
Or like high pressure, maybe not incredibly stressful. I mean, it can't be because it's like 16-year-olds running around stoned out of their minds, parking Lamborghinis or whatever.
Yeah. Anyone who is a professional driver, I have extreme admiration for. I think it's an incredibly hard job.
I think it depends on what they're driving for me, but you know, I respect them at least a little bit as far as driving goes.
But when we go camping, it's like we'll go camping up in the Sierras and we'll be on some of those mountain roads and they're like guys driving tour buses full of old people around these like hairpin turns where there's just like there's no rail, it's just a drop off of like, you know,
that's
200, 300 feet.
Yeah.
And they're just it doesn't even seem like the fucking roads up there can like hold the tour bus, but somehow they can. These guys just, their job is to just drive like up and down these insane mountain roads in these like massive coach tour buses with a bunch of old people.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
That is a job I would never want.
That's a job I would never want.
Was there anything naughty that you did at your job? Like anything you got fired from or?
I was trying to think while I was actively listening to you.
Yes.
But I was also trying to think at the same time. I've never gotten fired. I've gotten talkings to.
Yeah.
I got talked to at Second City when I worked in the box office. Because I think the talk was like kind of like, hey man, we like you. We're glad you have a positive attitude. This isn't your playground. You can't be goofing off all the time. You can't be running around.
Yeah.
And I guess I kind of know what behavior they were talking about, but I just chilled out a little bit and quit goofing off so much.
Yeah.
But it was also a conversation that was like, there was nothing specific about like what I had done.
Yes.
It was just kind of generally that. Yeah. And then also once I worked at the, when I was in college for a little while, maybe a summer or something, I worked at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville.
Oh yes. Famous landmark
listening spot. Room.
Yeah. Famous listening room. That's where you learn to actively listen.
That's where I learned to actively listen. A lot of people think I learned this skill, which I possess in Chicago and in improv, but no, that's where I perfected it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I learned it, where I cut my teeth was the Bluebird Cafe.
That's
in the round. They're playing in the round.
That's a cool spot to have worked, though.
You think it would be. I was kind of like, I mean, if it caught on fire, that'd be kind of okay.
Yeah. Because
they were just booking. I just didn't like who they were, but it wasn't for me. But they were just, it was like, they were not, what?
It's just funny to me that like you as I assume a server.
No. I was
what
like,
were you doing?
I don't know. I was like washing dishes and like running food and like, I don't know what. It was a low job.
Yeah. As like a dishwasher being like, if I could book this place, I'd have a thing.
You know what was valuable about it to me though? Was like having it kind of lit a fire under my ass in some ways of like, it gave me something to kind of, you know, I would come home from that or just be at that job and be like, God, these musicians are so dull.
Yes.
And so boring. And it gives me fuel for like my own creativity to like kind of react against like that. Like, oh my gosh, don't you see that like artistry matters or like originality matters. And I highlighted those things for me because it would be, you know, I think it's probably a great, if you're looking for the people who are looking for what the Bluebird Cafe has to offer are going to be really happy. But it, for me, most of the time it was like, these are just dull, wannabe pop country songwriters.
Yes.
Or they're doing like kind of a not a pastiche, but like, you know, they're imitating some other successful songwriter.
Yeah.
And it's mostly cringe and really boring. But there was also some really cool people that had come in. They had one time a band came in that the lead, there was like a, it was like kind of a rockabilly kind of like bluegrass kind of thing. There was a guy with a trumpet and he lit it on fire with a bell on fire and he was playing it out on the, he was like standing on, he walked up the side of the bass as the bass player was playing the upright bass and played the trumpet on fire, like shot like flames over. And I was like, oh fuck, what? I said something that was like insulting to the venue, to the woman who books. I would just said it out loud. I think I was like, now this is cool. Like finally, like we should be doing stuff like
this. Yeah,
I can't remember what I said, but whatever it was, she like turned to me and was like, what? And then I was like, yeah, it's good. Like the stuff is cool mostly. But then I, you know, quit. But I got in trouble at that job for the same reason. A server.
Goofing off.
I don't think I'd ever worked in a restaurant at all or like any place that like was food service whatsoever. And nobody told me nothing. And there's like, maybe some lifers in there.
Yeah.
Like servers. And I was goofing off. And I think I like pretended to like blow across the top of like one of those like plastic bottles that like, you know, is like some kind of cocktail mix or something like that. But I pretended to like blow across it. I think I did actually blow across it. And she was like, got really mad at me and was like, we have to like clean this, you fucking idiot. You can't be blowing on things that people are eating out of. And I was just caught in the moment and goofing off and like didn't have the sensitivity from working in restaurant for years to be aware of what I should and should not do. And she really let me know that like, this isn't fucking playing around. This is our jobs here.
Yeah, if you want to horse around at work, you go to the second city, and then you
and so I did, and I was reprimanded for it there. And I went to Groupon, and I thought maybe I should kill myself, and they didn't reprimand me for that. And I didn't have any fun. I don't know why I said that. I don't know where I thought that was leading. I haven't gotten that feedback since. But I also haven't worked at places where it really made me want to goof off. Or it was just my job to be goofing off. Though I think I probably got in trouble at Second City for goofing off when the job was to be goofing off.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, you know? Hey, we need to get the lines for this goof off scene down. And you're goofing off.
You're adding different lines in.
Yeah,
you're funny.
And yeah.
I know you know them, but you need to say them. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Steve Carell wrote this in 1980 and it needs to stay the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do need to get the lines right and you need to like get through them or whatever, but it's so boring and it's like a prison job, not a prison job, but it's the job itself is you are trapped now in having to do Second City scenes. All you want to do, you're creative and you're smart and you're funny and you want to be doing your own stuff as much as possible or improvising. And it's just not, unfortunately, set up for you to be doing that.
You said this was on Tourco, right?
This is on Tourco.
Okay, yeah.
You need to be doing this. You need to be doing what sells the tickets or what the audience expects.
Yes.
And I don't, I have gripes with Second City. I don't know if I need to air them here, but I mean, maybe I would love to, but well, I will. I think they need to, I wish that that job, gave more power to the performers and the people who are the reason it exists. The business arm of Second City, I think, looks down at anybody who wants to be working there. And is like, good luck.
Yeah.
And good that you're like, you know, rub your nose in the dirt a little more for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Show us how much you like it. And then you're like, can I please just like run around and play and like be creative? And they're like, no. And they hamper that. And it's like, well, the whole idea, not the whole idea of the place, but it's like, you know, part of what sells it is like, we're a factory of SNL. We make SNL people.
Yes.
Do you? You only let them write one show a year.
Yeah.
The job, you want them to get a job where they have to write sketches every week and be good at doing that. And you're going to hire some of the, you know, I don't know. Well, you're going to hire some of the funniest people in Chicago and not let them, you're going to shackle them to a show that they wrote a year ago. And you're not, and they don't let them change it. And they don't let them like fuck with it. They have to like have the director come in and like make adjustments. And there are reasons for those things, but it's Second City is in an unfortunate position in theater. They're, you know, technically like, they're treated like a traditional theater in the Chicago comedy scene and in like the Actors Equity contract. And you wish that they weren't because they're a sketch show and it's a comedy venue and they have comedians. They are actors in a way, but they're mostly comedians. I think that's a big thing Second City needs to think about the creative people they perform as comedians, not.
Yes. And it also kind of seems to attract the occasional and very weird person there who is literally an actor and it's like, I'm not trying to be a comedian.
And those people, I think maybe some of them are my friends or they have been, but they need to go away.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah,
fuck
yeah.
off. Yeah. I know we're all trying to get famous and we're all trying to get paid and we're all trying to make our careers, but fuck right off. This is it's a comedy place.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sad. I think Chicago comedy would be in a healthier place if Second City respect, I don't know where, at what level of Second City, but respected comedy itself and Chicago comedy more. And that's like going out to shows, being aware who's funny, hiring them because they're funny, letting them be funny for the reason you hire them, letting them do that.
Yeah.
Let them do that on the road. Let them learn how to do it. And they do a little bit, but it's not much. There's a lot of anxiety around it. And this is, the Bluebird Cafe suffered from this. A lot of places in Nashville, Tootsie, like all these places have become kind of, they're tourist destinations, and at one point, rightfully so.
Yes.
But then they're now victims of their own success, and they are, Tootsie's is a Tootsie-themed bar, and the Bluebird Cafe is a Bluebird Cafe-themed listening room.
Yes.
It's not actually the thing anymore. It is in some little slivers. You can see it. Second City, still has brilliant performers there, and they're still doing some good shows and some good funny stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing is, remember what we were?
Yeah.
You remember how we were cutting edge? We were smart.
Remember how Fatty used to fall down here? That's like what?
Remember Fatty would fall down and the University of Chicago students, they'd let you know a little thing or two about Mayor Daley or whatever.
Yeah. That's what it feels like walking into Second City nowadays.
Fatty
used
to fall down.
Yeah, it's like, Fatty fall down and, Steve Carell, throw up a lot of pictures of Steve Carell, like big hat, big goofy. It's like now it seems like, you walk in there and you look at the pictures and it's like, here's Chris Farley, in a big goofy looking suit.
This doing is Matt like, Farley. He's doing Matt Foley.
Matt Foley.
He's
yeah, Matt Matt, Foley. Yeah. Yeah, written by Bob Odenkirk.
Originated at Second City.
Exactly.
And again, good for that. Yeah, I don't know.
And we have no. I'm that being said, it's like those guys idolized a lot of those comedians growing up. But it's like you would think that they would update things a bit, or like not even update, but it's like that was kind of like what they did.
There's something broken.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad to walk in there and just be like, oh yeah, like you said, it's just like a Second City themed place, or like the Bluebird is like becomes kind of a caricature of itself, and is just a big tourist destination, and like that's fine, but it sucks that there's not much authenticity to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I don't know why I'm qualifying everything. Like I'm like afraid of burning a bridge of a place that I like will no longer hire me and I no longer care to hire.
Yeah. And treats people in general. Relatively poorly.
I don't know why I really give a shit. Like I'm like qualifying like, well, there's good people and they're doing good stuff there still sometimes and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what's, I don't know what's broken at Second City, but I feel like I felt it as soon as I walked in there and was working there, and I got pretty depressed about it.
Yeah.
And felt like really enraged at like you're making them do the show all the time. And it felt very artistically stifling to watch as like a person in the room, because I was like a host there at first.
Yeah.
But when I was there, it was, the cast was Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson and Katie Rich and Holly Laurent and Tim Mason and Edgar Blackman, who are all excellent
cast.
Comedians, yeah. All great. And I was, of course, enamored with Tim Robinson, especially.
Yeah.
They're all great, but like he would come out and it was like, the first time he got to be on stage that night, every time he came out on stage, he was so excited.
Yes.
And, or like at least it seemed that like he certainly couldn't have been, that all the time, but he just has that energy about him. And that was so like such a formative experience for me and such an incredible thing to get to watch. And then to watch it be like, but you're like shackled by like the horse shit of Second City.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, such a bummer. One of the best shows they ever did, SNL came. And it was like, I think like Lorne came. I think it was like everybody. And they sat like on the rail that, where everybody can kind of see who they are. And Sam and Tim, I think, had left. Several people left. They let them come back, which I don't think they did this. But they left the show, let them come back. They replaced their understudies. And they did the show again. This is the one that I think Tim got hired from. And it was like one of the, it was just a really tight show. That they did, like, it was, like, tight-lit. Like, they were not, like, loose with it. They weren't really having much fun. They were doing the show, and you could tell that there was a lot of tension in it. But it was, like, a Friday or Saturday night. So the first show was that, and then SNL went to the other theater and watched that show. And the second show, you could like feel like the relief of they're no longer there. And the show went like maybe like an hour longer than it's a 2 hour show or 2.5 hour maybe. Yeah. And they do an improv. It went maybe a full hour after. I wish I could remember any of the bits, but it was, people were just going fucking nuts. Sam and Tim especially had this scene where they're security guards outside of where did the Bulls play? United Center. Yeah. And it's just them being friends is the whole sketch. There's not really much of a premise to it. It's just them kind of goofing off, and they just goofed off, I think, for like another 20 minutes on top of what's already kind of a long set. It was incredible.
Nice.
So that was really cool to get to see.
Yeah.
And you could tell, I think that my point being, you know, you release the chains and like, yeah, the show got a little long, but goddamn, it was fucking incredible. It was so funny.
Yeah. You pay what you think, or you get what you think you're paying to see, which is like current cutting edge or like,
yeah.
Maybe not cutting edge, but yeah, but
yeah,
like,
that's what
like subversive fun,
yeah,
you know, current modern comedy. Like this is the type of stuff that people are really like doing out in the comedy scene. Whereas like,
You're saying that's what they sell themselves as?
Sorry, yeah, I think they sell themselves as satirize everything that's going on. We're gonna like really buck the system. This is edgy comedy, and you go and you're just like, oh, if you don't know,
this is comedy for people from the suburbs.
Yeah, or like you don't know that, like, oh yeah, in like there's probably a pretty good chance, unless I'm seeing like the main stage review, that there's a scene that was written in the 80s or the 90s that is in here.
Or the
here,
ETC.
You know?
There's two main stages there. Yeah. And for whatever reason, they pit them against each other. But yeah.
Yeah. It's just like something that I think, you know, I was never involved formally with Second City other than just, you know, doing the conservatory and knowing people who had performed there. But I was just like, man, I remember getting to a certain point and like when you work there and other friends work there and they're just like, oh yeah, we're doing this scene that was written by so-and-so. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then it's also like, oh, they were just doing that scene for years. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I thought like what was fun about this place was you get to see like current comedy, but it's like a lot of just old, you know, cruise ship reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know, whatever, I guess the caveat is, you know, I get it. They have to, you know, stay employed. They have to pay their rent. They don't own the building. They got to figure out, they gotta keep people in the seats and they blah, 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 whatever. But it's, you know, it's a shame because it could be incredible. And I think it is. It's capitalism. It's a victim of capitalism. It's a victim of the necessity, excuse me, I'm picking something up, the necessity of keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
I hope this is interesting to listen to. We just went down a massive Second City rabbit.
That's
hole.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about your job.
And
this is what Chris wants.
And that was my job, which is what Chris wants. Who is the only audience member we care about, please?
Yeah, we just need to impress.
Unless he wants us,
Dr. Chris Chismore.
And then maybe impressing him is also doing a good job of the pod and an audience liking it as well.
So. We're not trying to pander to him.
No.
We're only pandering to him by doing a really good job, trying to do a really good job of the podcast.
I'd say, if anything, we're trying to pander to you, the listener.
Yes.
We're doing everything we can think of.
We're Griffin. I mean, I think people will find the Second City stuff really interesting. We've talked about it a lot and we're just like, oh yeah, it's Second City. But I think a lot of people really find that stuff interesting and love to hear about the inner workings.
I'd talk about it more and I'd name names. All you have to do is get on Apple Podcasts or Spotify podcast spot and leave between 4 and 5 star review.
Yeah.
And just tell us that that's what you want me to do. And I'll do all the other stuff whenever I've said about this. And I'll also name names and I'll drag people at the Second City. Ugh, I would hate to have to do that, but I'll do it if the listeners want it.
Yeah. You can peer pressure Griffin into dragging everyone that he's worked with.
If you leave most of your phone number on the review, I'll guess the last number until I get you, and then I'll tell you personally what I think of these people.
I was going to ask if Groupon was the worst job you've had.
It was definitely, I was the most unhappy because I was doing that while I was also trying to do comedy, doing both of those things so much that it felt like I had two jobs. Like I was like writing a show and I don't know. It's just, I think that's how everybody feels when they're doing comedy is, and you have a day job and still feel.
Yeah, I feel
but
that.
I just felt it so hard because it was like 40 hours a week and I'm like, I was writing, I was copywriting as well. And then I was like, okay, I have to come home and use my verbal center again and be funny somehow.
Yeah.
Either on the page or go to a show. And so I was just burned out and I was really unhappy there. And it was just a boring place to work. I don't know. What was your worst job? I'll think about it.
The worst job I ever had was definitely being a door-to-door salesman.
Oof.
I sold AT&T cable door-to-door and it was the worst job I ever had. It was...
People mad at you.
Yeah, people were mad at me. I often walked into the homes of hoarders who did not take care of themselves or their house. And I would have to try and sell them cable that it would be clear that they could not afford, even like $60 a month. And you pretty much only worked on commission. And it was just like, I think that I just got sucked in easy because I had just graduated college. It was the summer after I graduated college. And I was like, I got to do something. And I don't know how I at that time I was like, I have to be working. I just got out of college. I have to be working. I didn't even think like I should chill and have fun.
Yeah.
And so I immediately
constant for you.
Yeah.
I feel like you've constantly had a job since then.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 I mean, I've pretty much always had a job.
Which is good. That's good.
It is good.
Hey, ladies, that's marriage material.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Sorry, you're a little late. Oh, he's taken, but you can have me.
Yeah, you can have Griffin.
I barely work.
Freelance video editor.
Right now.
But yeah, it was awful. It was so hot. It was in Charleston, South Carolina. We'd be sent to these like crazy rural parts that, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with going to a rural area other than when you have to be outside in it and dressed in a collared shirt and you're there like, kind of on your own and you're just walking up to people's doors trying to get them to buy cable. And then all the people that worked there were like really weird and it was really sad. Everyone that worked there was like really enthusiastic and really bought into the like inspirational stuff. And like you'd go in there before you went out to go sell cable, you'd meet up at like the office, which was just like a house that had been converted into office space. But was so clearly a house. And it was run by like a guy in his like mid to late 20s.
Was managing a bunch of AT&T?
Yes, but it's through a third party marketing.
Yeah, this sounds
depressing. It's another multi-level marketing scheme.
This sounds like where guys go who want to abduct women and children. They get that job.
It was very sad in retrospect. And I remember being in there and like you'd go in there and they'd have like a little huddle and they'd give you like an inspirate. They'd be like, this is a sales lesson. Mm-hmm. But then like the guys would always be quoting, like, I remember the guy quoting, he'd be like, you know, Donald Trump, he's like one of the richest men ever. And he said that if he lost all of his money tomorrow, he'd start being a door-to-door salesman the next day and build his wealth back up. And it was just like
Kill himself.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's all sorts of that type of horse shit, but when you're just young and impressionable, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I hate this job, but like these people are trying to get after it. And mm-hmm. like looking back, it was like everyone was just such a sad character. And I don't know where any of them are today.
In the ground.
No, I don't think one of the guys actually became a comedian a little bit.
So he's for sure dead.
Yeah, so he's for sure dead. So, yeah,
that's one guy I'm definitely right about. That's a dead guy.
Yeah, but that was definitely the worst job I'd ever had. And then I got a job that took me to Chicago. And so then I moved to Chicago.
Because I got that internship.
Yeah, I got an internship in Chicago. It was a paid internship. Didn't pay much.
Hey, back then, nobody was having paid internships.
No, but it was like, yeah, having a paid internship was kind of a rarity. But yeah, I made $500 a week setting up.
Which, that's rent, baby.
Yeah, those Warrior Dashes, the mud runs. It was at Red Frog.
I'm scared to say the name.
No, I said it right now. It's Red Frog.
You said it right now.
It's a defunct company.
Well, then you can talk about how you defrauded them.
No, I never defrauded.
Yes, you did.
How I defrogged them? No, yeah, I never,
no, yes, you did, and I helped you.
Oh.
Yes, multiple times.
Oh, you're talking
I'd
about
I'd say
the,
once a year.
Oh, you're talking about the promo code.
I'm talking about the promo code.
Oh, yeah.
Something, here's, a, here's something you can, is sort of an anti-work hack. For
yeah, this was an anti-work. This was another naughty thing I did at work. So the thing was, is like, I, at the time, managed, we had built this ticketing system. On our way, on my way out, me and my coworker created a promo code that would just let us go to any of the events that we wanted to for free. And we did. That being said, and there was only one main event that we wanted to go to, which was a beer fest.
The big event.
Which was a beer fest. So we could just, you could get as many tickets. It had no limit. The promo code had no limit on how many tickets you could get. And we would just buy, we would just get tickets to this beer event for us and all of our friends every year for the next like 5 years.
You, me, your roommates, Matt and Luke, friends of the pod.
Yeah, friends of the pod.
Luke Knoll, public figure. We can name him.
Yes.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Matt, not a public figure. A public worker.
Yes, public worker. But I don't think...
So we can't name him.
The gist is that we just got...
Yes.
We were able to use this promo code to go to this beer fest for like 3 years in a row.
And get annihilated drunk and have pretzels all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know what we would... I don't know how we would just live after that. But yeah, we would get... Fucked up.
Defrauding, I would say, is pretty intense,
pretty harsh.
It was like pulling a fast one on the way out, getting a few $100 worth of free tickets.
Right, you're not going to get audited for this.
No.
I think we're a bit long.
Okay, that's fine.
I think we're good.
So we should wrap up.
We should find, and we're finding that way. Now, do you have something you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I hope that's jobs.
And that's jobs.
We talked about a lot of naughty things we did while on the job.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about any dirty jobs like we teased, but...
Well, maybe if you want to hear that.
Yeah, maybe if Chris thinks we did a good enough job, he'll want a jobs part two.
And if you want a jobs part two, go ahead and open up Apple Podcasts. Spotify podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, leave a 4-5-star review and let us know. I want to hear about dirty jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Say I want a dirty job specific
episode. I want that dirt.
Yeah, dirty jobs. But yeah, I hopefully Dr. Chismore thinks that this was sufficient and that we did a really good job of jobs.
I think we're onto it with this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he's gonna like it.
Me too. Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye. Cool. I have to pee so bad.
Goober Time is produced by me, Griffin, and Lauren Talmadge. Executive produced by Tim McGower. Associate producer, Ahmed Stork, and aspiring producer, Little Jimmy Penn. Goober Time is engineered by Roger Goodrich and recorded at Detweiler Sound in Humble, Tupelo, Mississippi. Sound mixing by Reed Armband with music by Laser Monster, which is Griffin in the past. You can check it out at lasermonster.bandcamp.com. Tom's costume was provided by Padma Lakshmi with catering provided by Kokomo's Mungo Lounge. Kokomo's, if you can't take her here, you can't take her anywhere.